Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The message this morning comes from the passage in Revelation that was read, starting in the first verse. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." This is God's word. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. It's what the angel asked the women when they arrived at the tomb of Jesus. And I start with this verse, because if we're to understand anything about the seal of the living God, it is necessary to start with Jesus, the one who is the seal. Starting anywhere else, of course, is folly. And so we start with Him. We start with the clothes of human form that He put on to dwell among us. And we start with the sacrifice that He offered of Himself for the sins of the world. And we start with His resurrection as proof of death and sin's defeat. And we start there. Because without it, without all of it, there is no seal available to us. And without a seal, there's really nothing available to us. And so, we start with Jesus. For through Him, we have access to the Father. And the Father seals us. He calls us His own adopted child. And He invites us into His family. You see, He poured out His cup of wrath upon His own Son so that He could pour out His cup of blessing upon us, His adopted children. But this seal, what is this seal that John talks about in his book? And furthermore, what is it that God is waiting on? Is it the baptism of His children? It's a portion of it, of course, but it's not the whole. For if it were, why do we still sin? And why does He call us to repentance through the Word and His sacraments? You see, if baptism were the whole, why would He send the Holy Spirit into our hearts? See, baptism, then, is the beginning, but it's not the end. Now, if baptism is the beginning, then we ask ourselves the beginning of what? What follows our baptism? Well, just as God is the living God, we are the living adopted children of the living God. Adopted through baptism. And so He calls us into a life where we are molded into an image that resembles Jesus, His perfect Son. And every day, He allows upon us trials and tribulations that with the help of the Holy Spirit refine us and strengthen our faith. See, being sealed is an active act that has no ending. Being sealed, as one Lutheran commentary stated, refers to the ongoing work of the Spirit through God's Word and sacraments by which the Christian is kept in faith and protected in godly hope through all the tribulations and sufferings and persecutions illustrated by the four horsemen. No matter how dire the dangers become for the Christian, God will not permit his people to be lost. He will keep them in their faith and their hope, regardless of what is thrown at them, even death itself. Now, on this day, we don't just celebrate the lives of those who have been sealed and are now actively alive in the presence of the Father. We also mourn their loss. For although we know where they are and who they are with, we also know where they are not and who they are not with. And this is the tribulation of our hearts that is brought into focus this morning. But how are we to respond to these mixed emotions? For we're lying to ourselves if we say that we celebrate their entry into heaven without also acknowledging their absence here on earth. And so the question this morning is this: how do we use this day to help instill some semblance of peace in our hearts? And how do we view this day as an opportunity to measure our participation in the ongoing work of God's sealing? And I'd like to offer three very specific suggestions this morning. And the first one, probably the most difficult one, is to be in God's Word. We all know this. But knowing is not enough. You see, being sealed means not just knowing, but feeling. It means desiring. It means thirsting. Does your heart thirst for God's Word? And if it doesn't, I would offer that you commit to reading God's Word regularly. Force yourself every day to be in the Bible. And let God's Word work on you. I tell you up front, I fall short of this suggestion too. It seems difficult, sometimes nearly impossible, for me to read God's Word outside of preparing for a sermon. So I understand if you struggle with this. But I've renewed my commitment, and I ask you to consider to do the same. Now, some might argue that sounds like law. And in some ways, I guess it is. But maybe that is what it will take for you and for me to form this habit. But here's the thing. As it becomes a habit, the Holy Spirit will create in us a heart that thirsts for God's Word. It'll no longer be law. It'll be bread and water for our souls. The second thing we can do is related to the first, and that is to participate in the Lord's Supper. See, God promises His forgiveness through the body and blood of His risen Son. And when we receive it, we receive the living God in a very real sense. He nourishes us. He strengthens us through this meal. We receive the real Jesus, the actual seal that suffered and died for us and then rose from the grave to give us confidence that sin and death were defeated. The final suggestion is probably the easiest one for us gathered here this morning, but probably the hardest one for everyone else. And it's this: to be in community
with each other.
The world tells us we can do it on our own, that we don't need anyone besides ourselves. But that, you know, is false. We were made in the image of God, and that means we were made to be relational. We were made to lean on each other, to celebrate with each other, to live life with each other. And indeed, just look at the two previous points, being in God's Word and coming to the table. They're deeply relational. We simply cannot go through life alone. We cannot go through the trials and the tribulations alone. Doing so, quite frankly, can be fatal. I know of a young lady who passed away a few years ago. She struggled with her faith. She struggled with her life. But you see, in that struggle, she separated herself from her family. And even more critical, she separated herself from the church. She ended up creating an island where she thought she could find solace in nothing but herself. And when that wasn't enough, she had nowhere to turn. For her, God became too far away. Jesus became unreachable. And she had no church to guide her back. And one morning, she was found with a rosary in one hand and a gun in another. I say this not to shock you, but to awaken you. This is the risk that we face when we believe that the body of believers is not critical for our spiritual and our physical health. This is the risk that so many of those that we call friends and that we call family face each and every day. See, this might not be a problem for us, but it is surely a problem for somebody we know. And so I urge you, stay connected to the church. I urge you to keep an eye out for those who have become disconnected. Bring them back, for they need the body of Jesus more than they might even want to admit. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. This is what I started with, and this is what I'll end with. He has risen. Our loved ones who we remember this day have not done so yet. But because they have been sealed with the blood of Jesus, we know that one day they will. And we also live confidently in the knowledge that because we have been sealed, we also will be counted among the eternal living. And so I urge you, be active in the refinement of your soul. Be in God's Word, not because you have to, but because you can't imagine a day without doing so. Receive the grace that He offers you in His Word and in His sacraments, not because you have to, but because you can't imagine missing out on an opportunity like that. And be in community with each other. Maybe not just for yourself, but because there are others who absolutely need you for their own strength. Why do you seek the living among the dead? One day, we will hear these words spoken of us. But for now, let us prepare for that day. Please pray with me. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."